Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Don't Risk It, Secure It podcast. I am your host, Elisa Bibilonia, and this is a very special episode because not only is it the third episode of the Don't Risk It, Secure It podcast, but we are also currently in Cybersecurity Awareness Month. So for today's episode, we're going to cover some of the history of Cybersecurity Month and speak with one of the 24x7 team members about cybersecurity awareness training. But before that, I do want to cover some of the history and overall significance of this month that is Cybersecurity Awareness Month. So Cybersecurity Awareness Month started in October 2004, and it was developed by the Department of Homeland Security with the intention to keep Americans safe online. At the time, cybersecurity and overall internet, computer, it was all very new. It was a very new concept. So people were just trying to navigate the internet as a whole. You know, the last thing was thinking about the security and the safety. It wasn't very known to the average user. So, you know, at the time, a lot of people weren't aware of hackers or how much information you really have online and what can happen if someone takes that information. So I just wanted to share some tricks and little tidbits that maybe the average person does not know and bring it to light, because at the end of the day, if we're not educated, we're not going to know. And the main intention of Cybersecurity Awareness Month is to spread awareness and give information about cybersecurity. So one big thing that I have learned working with a cybersecurity company is a little something called phishing. Now, phishing is a type of email or text or basically any type of online communication that has a link which is intended to lure you in, but at the end of the day, it's a link that can compromise your data and overall hack you. So a phishing email can read a little something like this. Hey, Elisa. You have won a free Starbucks gift card. Click this link to redeem it. Or you have won free Netflix for a year. Click this link to redeem it. Listen, 10 times out of 10, there is no free Starbucks gift card. There is no free Netflix for the year. That is a link meant to draw you in because it's like, oh, Starbucks gift card, nice. But it's things that you really have to be careful about. And I know me saying this out loud, you're probably thinking like, who would fall for that? Trust me, there are people that fall for it. So it's a big thing to mention. Another thing is when you are on public Wi-Fi, honestly, I would not even suggest to go on any public Wi-Fi, but if you absolutely need to be on a public Wi-Fi setting, for instance, Starbucks Wi-Fi, any place that offers Wi-Fi, I would suggest that you don't do anything that requires a lot of information. So I would say don't do online banking through public Wi-Fi. Listen, public Wi-Fi can be very, very dangerous. So many people are on it at the same time and you don't know who's on it, right? So it could be one person that really knows what they're doing and can take data from you, can take information, and you don't know how much they're taking. Especially now with smartphones, we have our credit cards on our phone, online banking, we have medical records, or whatever the case may be, we have a lot of information that is identifiable to us. So it's our responsibility as individuals, and also if you work in a big corporation or a small corporation, if you are not implementing any cybersecurity at all, or have implemented any training, I would really, really suggest that you do, because at the end of the day, it's a win-win benefit. And we've mentioned on this podcast before that, you know, hackers don't clock in and out, right? They don't stop working, they don't sleep. They will get your information if they really, really, really want to. And they really find ways around it. They're only getting smarter, they're only getting quicker. So it's up to us to protect ourselves in the best way that we can. So I really suggest that we really this Cybersecurity Month, and overall, all months, all year, all forever, right? That we implement cybersecurity and teach it and overall talk about it more. Just because the more we talk about it, the more awareness that we do spread, inevitably we can decrease risk. We can provide education for those who really do not know. But don't take my word for it. Let's see what one of our team members has to say. So joined with me for this portion of the podcast is Jennifer Serra.
Hello, my name is Jennifer Serra. I'm a security analyst with 24/7.
Jen, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today and be on the podcast. I really wanted to get your viewpoint and overall your insight on incident response planning and basically how that relates to Cybersecurity Month, and overall just hear what you need to say about it.
Sure. So having a good incident response plan is important. The faster your organization can detect and respond to a data breach, the less likely it will have a significant impact on your data, customer trust, reputation, and even a potential loss of revenue.
Right. And disclaimer, everyone, it is Cybersecurity Awareness Month, and it's important, obviously, to have a good incident response plan during Cybersecurity Month, but it's also important year-round all the time, right?
Yes.
So for the listeners who don't know what an incident response plan is, Jen, could you define that for us? What is an incident response plan?
Sure, absolutely. An incident response plan is essentially a document that outlines an organization's process, roles and responsibilities, and procedures in the event of a cyber breach.
Nice, nice. And it's pretty, I know we've mentioned before, it's not even if something happens, it's a matter of when, right?
Yes.
Just because cybersecurity is, it's something we always need to be thinking about. So
exactly. We always need to be prepared.
Right.
It's definitely if and not when.
Right, exactly. That's why we're 24/7, because as I mentioned before on this podcast, the hackers don't sleep, guys. So
don't risk it, secure it.
Right, exactly. So in addition to that, what would you say makes a strong incident response plan?
I think what makes a strong incident response plan is practice. All of the key players participate in simulated incident exercises. We call them tabletop exercises, at least once a year, so that their roles and responsibilities are clear and understood and everyone is prepared and aware of their roles. It should clearly define what is considered an incident and the process to follow depending on the type of incident.
Right. And it seems from what you're describing, it's a very organized process, and that's
yes,
perfect. You know, in these situations, you need something strong, but it needs to be organized in a timely manner and all of that. So in terms of the organization, as I mentioned, what would you say are some of the phases of an incident response plan?
I'll tell you what the phases are and then touch a little bit about what each of them is, or what it means, really. So
okay.
The phases of incident response are preparation, identification, containment, eradication, and recovery. So preparation would be conducting those tabletop exercises, testing the plan, making sure that everyone is educated and aware of their roles. Identification is would be, you know, ensuring that there are proper technologies in place to alert of an incident, and also that ensuring that personnel is trained of how to identify an incident. A containment would really be what you can do to mitigate damage once you've already been breached.
Mm-hmm.
And eradication, patching, removing malicious software, updating older software versions, and recovery is basically getting those affected systems back online after an incident.
Nice. That's all great. I pretty much think you defined so well all of the phases and what it is, and gave a real good understanding. So I won't keep you for much longer, but I do want to ask, do you have one takeaway or just anything that you want our listeners to know about Cybersecurity Awareness Month, or something that you would advise in terms of cybersecurity and how to be safe?
Sure. I can definitely give some tips. I would say to enable MFA wherever possible. Okay. So having an application even on your cell phone, like Google Authenticator or Authy, would help, so that you have to use multi-factor authentication right. to log into the applications on your phone. That just adds an added layer of security. If you ever lose your device, or someone can't access your account information your through those applications.
Yeah. I remember, sorry to cut you off, but I remember when I was in college, just to sign in to the portal, it was all these multi-factor authentications. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is so annoying. Mm-hmm. But now looking back and realizing what it is, it was like, oh, that was great. Because there's so much, as a college student, how much information do you give to the college? And when you pay, and your social security, there's so much information there. So
absolutely,
that's definitely a good point. Definitely a good point.
Thanks. so yeah, I use the Google Authenticator app on my iPhone, and I've had that on there basically since I found out what MFA was. I was mm-hmm. like, okay, I'm going to do this on every device I have. Another tip I would give is to use a password manager, like LastPass. That's an app for, I believe, iPhone and Android that it generates random passwords and it stores them for you. So you don't have to remember multiple passwords for different accounts.
Oh my goodness.
I think it even has some functions. I hope I'm not wrong about this, but I think it has some functions to periodically reset and change your passwords after a certain time, so that, you know, in the event that someone could guess it, it's less likely because they change it often. I think the last, probably most relevant tip that I could give is to be aware of phishing scams.
Yep.
And always verify the sender's email address. I've got some, even since I started working for 24/7, of people claiming to be other people within our organization, yes. asking me for things, and it's always very sketchy, like asking me if I'm sitting at my desk, or
yes, I got the
saying,
same one.
I'm like, text me, I don't have your cell phone number, and I'm like, she has my cell phone number. Right. What is this? And then the way that I verify that is, you can look at the source email address that message came from.
And the domain and everything, right?
So hackers are getting really sophisticated with phishing. You can receive an email that looks like it comes from your bank and has logos on it and everything
right.
that would seem legitimate or trustworthy, and 9 times out of 10 they contain a link within the email, and just by clicking on that, you're exposing yourself and you're
clicking,
you know,
the
potentially,
like, the
your
image
lawyer.
Or the logo or whatever, not even a specific link, it's hidden, right? Mm-hmm. Is what you mean? Yeah.
Yes.
It's crazy.
So, never click on a link in an email from an unknown source. Always verify the sender's email address. If you're unsure, don't open it.
Right.
And there's phishing campaigns that there's different applications that offer the technology to host phishing campaigns. So they're simulated phishing emails just as a tester.
Wow.
I think something that I would definitely recommend for organizations to
look out for,
look into doing with their employees.
Wow, that's crazy. I didn't know that there was a certain program for it. I thought it was the hackers just on it all day and all night, you
yep.
know?
There's even companies that specifically do phishing campaigns, like third-party companies.
That's horrible.
No, it's for training purposes. It's something you voluntarily
do. Okay, I misunderstood completely. I thought you meant to in attempts to fish.
No, sorry. I apologize. I should have clarified that. They are voluntary exercises called phishing campaigns, where they essentially simulate and send out fake phishing emails to employees to see who will click on it.
And who falls for it.
Yes.
Wow.
And there are some organizations that take that very seriously, and I've even heard of some penalizing employees
for clicking it.
Yes. Ooh. For failing the phishing exercise. So
man.
Be aware.
Yeah, be aware. And even in our organization, I remember having a training about that, and I was like, what? I'm gonna get an email? Like, okay. And then I got it, I was like, oh, I'm in. I'm in here, guys. Obviously delete it first thing, but
yeah. Well, we're definitely, you know, we have to practice what we preach, right?
Exactly.
We have to be on top of that and making sure we are all educated as
well. So. And you know, it's very unfortunate about hackers and stuff and how sophisticated they are and how much smarter they're getting, but you know, we know they're out there, and now it's our responsibility to be aware and to be careful and to always, you know, implement cybersecurity and constantly think about it in all the ways that we can, right? Mm-hmm. So inevitably it's up to us. So that's pretty much that on that. Well, Jen, thank you so much for joining me, and thank you to all the listeners of the Don't Risk It, Secure It podcast. Make sure to keep up with all the episodes and follow us on all of our social medias to keep up on the latest updates. Thanks so much.
Very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Bye, everyone.